This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
God bless you too, CJ Stroud.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
That's right, Mokarum Injury Lawyers, y'all. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-22. 22. I want to remind y'all out there, download that damn Odyssey app, y'all. AUDACY, the Odyssey app. You can take us everywhere you go. You can listen on the AM dial, the FM HD dial, as I do, YouTube, Twitch, however it is you listen. But download the Odyssey app. You can take us anywhere you go. The signal always comes through. It's obviously streaming. You can get all the shows. You can get all, every segment on every show podcasted. The rewind feature is really cool. The Odyssey app is the way to go. AUDACY. By the way, we may give away $20,000 in a trip for four to Vegas. I don't know. That's what we did last year. You never know when it's going to come in handy. But anyway, make sure you download that. The Astros, a lot going on today. The Astros have already played out there on the East Coast. They played a little bit earlier. First pitch early. Little getaway game earlier than normal. No celebration music was heard on the drive today after the Astros game. The Astros, they fall to the Rays 8-4, and unfortunately this time it was unexpected. Look, right now I'm not real sure what to expect from a lot of the Astros, but the one guy that you at least hope that you can, or one of a couple of guys you hope you can depend on, is Hunter Brown. Well, today was not Hunter Brown's day. The wheels came off for Hunter Brown. He gave up three bombs, ended up giving five runs, giving up five runs. Force Whitley then comes in and gives up a three-run bomb to put the game out of reach late. Paredes did stay hot. Hit a couple of bombs today. And so I think it's going to come a time, boys, where we're going to need to, Ron, at some point, take a look back at what Paredes is doing right now and bump it up against not only slow start Bregman as the Astros, but what Bregman's doing in Boston right now, which I have no idea. I know he started hot and we were tracking him going, hey, hit a bomb here, did this, did that.
He was around 300 last I saw him.
Yeah. Well, as this season goes along, I think it's fair to compare the two just for grins and giggles, if you know what I mean, here in Houston, to see what that looks like. I know that piques my interest a bit. But we got to talk about the other corner infield position. Look, I typically don't prefer the way that Joe Espada juggles the lineup, the way Joe Espada juggles now the defensive lineup as well. I'm typically one of those guys that says, hey, man, especially for proven players. I think it was Bregman one year with you and I, Ron, doing live broadcast from down at what was Minute Maid Park. I remember going, hey, man, be patient with Bregman. Now in the playoffs, when you get into the play, now it's time to make some moves. We're in win or go home mode.
That's right. Dusty eventually just dropped into the seventh.
Yeah. So
in the World Series.
I'm typically a firm believer in that, especially when it's proven vets, y'all. But I am very, very fascinated with this Christian Walker situation. Christian Walker today was one for four today. Got a hit late. He's hitting 199. right now, and it's not been good. Would you say he's 3 for his last 38, which that makes him 4 for 39, I believe, if I heard you right.
He did get a hit today.
Yeah, so he got the hit today.
He got a hit in his last at-bat, so he's
4 for 39, right?
Well, this is not good.
But I know that the first base situation with the Astros has the fans' attention. Look, it seems like even the first base situation even has the fans' attention that are typically, hey, man, it's a long season, be patient. A good chunk of that group, I think, is looking at first base with a little bit of a side eye there. Christian Walker has been, it's just been an absolute just disappointment at first base so far with the bat. I mean, he is brought in a time when you lose Tucker, you lose Bregman, Christian Walker comes in. I don't want to speak for everybody else, but for me, I expected him to fill in nicely with Altuve and with Yordan Alvarez and be a steady force as a veteran bat.
He was supposed to be one of the top three bats in the lineup.
Yeah, man. And instead, we've seen a struggle. Like, I think y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I think right now, forget the expectations of who he is, just the everyday starters. I think he's the one that has just continued to struggle from jump.
Yeah, it's gotten better. I thought he was pressing at the beginning, and then like after a bit, and I think he's continued. And I think moved down in the lineup, he got dropped to the fifth spot. I bet it potentially that pressing may get worse.
How many multi-hit games does Christian Walker have this season, if any?
I bet it's three.
Because, like, I know I've seen him hit a homer or two. Maybe it is just that one.
He had two hits.
But it's just never consistent. The guy can't get multiple hits in a game.
He had two hits, I believe, the first game of the Rangers series. I think that was the last.
This is supposed to be our first baseman that could hit for the first time in years.
I mean, they brought him in to hit behind Yordan.
Son of a bitch!
Well, that's where I want to go with this, guys. I think, you know, we've watched and we've been frustrated with the first base situation since I guess it was the last year Yuli was here when he struggled all regular season. Luckily, when they got into the playoffs, he swung the bat well then, so we could at least justify with it when it mattered the most, he came around a little bit. But I think that year first base was a disappointment. I think when you look into the two Abreu years, obviously those two were disappointments, which got worse the longer he was with the further along we got in that 2 year span. And I only say all that to say there is a real PTSD, not just with the fan base. I wonder if this organization actually has a PTSD of like, hey, man, we just can't let our 4 and 5 hole hitter and our first baseman just all year long continue to be a dead bat in this lineup that doesn't come through for us. I wonder if the PTSD is real, like beyond just the fan base.
Well, I think you're talking about in the front office, like the decision makers.
Yeah.
It may be there, and I think even bigger though is, see, you had Abreu, but you had Bregman and you had Tucker, like they were both in the lineup. Like Abreu was not brought here to you thought, all right, in this lineup, we're like, he's a complimentary piece. We got Altuve.
Yeah,
we've got Bregman. We've got Yordan. We've got Tucker. We got four guys right there, and this guy's going to hit fifth or be the complimentary guy. That's not what Christian Walker is supposed to be. When you walked into this year, we got Altuve. You got Yordan. Maybe Diaz ahead of him, but I don't even think that is the case. I think with Christian Walker, you brought him in $20 million a year, just like you gave Abreu. He was like, he's supposed to be one of your top three guys. You don't have you don't have the luxury of having Tucker and Bregman here to offset him. Now, Paredes is trying to be in that space, but that's the other part that makes this different to where I think Dana and them, they gotta really look at it. Because this isn't your fifth guy.
Yes, absolutely. He's playing a bigger role than Abreu and even Yuli, obviously. So is there a PTSD that's reeled beyond the fan base to the front office? And could that lead to the way they handle the first base situation, maybe with a little bit more sense of urgency than we've seen it in the past, right? And then I think there's a couple more things here, Ron. I think when you look at Zach DiCenzo, and you look at Yiner Diaz, both of those guys can play first base.
And I
know DiCenzo has played above, well done, has played better than expected. And Diaz has shown some flashes, but has still not not made the stride that we all hoped. But you've got two guys there that can also play first base, right? Then you've got, stay with me here, you got Caratini, who is a switch hitter, one of a handful of left-handed bats in this lineup. He's swinging the bat really well. And you want to try, you may be in a position where you have to get his bat in the lineup sooner rather than later. And then you're going to have Yordan come back, and he's going to fill the DH role. So you're going to have less slots for all these guys to get swings. And so I just wonder, Ron, ultimately, if the leash, which I think it has to be, if the leash is shorter with Christian Walker and the lack of production at the first base position for the Astros, given all the circumstances that we just lined up, right? Christian Walker is more important than Yuli was. He's more important than Abreu was in this lineup. DeZenzo and Diaz can both play first base and have swung the bat better than Christian Walker. Caratini is a left-handed bat and has swung the bat better than any of the above. And Yordan comes back as the DH, and you have one less position to get all these guys swings. It seems like there could be a chance that Joe Espada and whoever the decision makers are make a decision with a little more sense of urgency than we've seen them in the past with that first base position.
My question to you, because I think Tyler looked it up yesterday and said by this time they had sent Abreu to the California Penal League or the Florida Penal League at this point.
Gulf Coast Penal
League. It was on vacation at this moment last year. Yeah.
Like, how far? Because we've already arrived here at May 21st, where he has dropped him in the lineup. He hit 35 times in the cleanup spot. We've now arrived to he's in the five spot. Whenever Yordan's hand gives him the ability to come back, we're probably pretty sure that there is going to be a drop maybe there. Clint, how far away do you think, or how bad does it have to get, do you think, for Joe Espada, Dana Brown, because that ain't just a Joe Espada decision, before they have to act and maybe get more into the DeZenzo can play first platoon situation. Diaz.
I just think, Ron, that I mean, you hit the nail on the head with it. That bat is more important. If you're not going to produce at a top level, then obviously you have to get more bats in the lineup. It's more important that you get the hot bats in the lineup. It's more important that you get bats in the lineup that have produced over the year. And because again, it's just not the same baseball team. I mean, you don't have the luxuries that former Astros teams have had. At least I don't think you do. And so maybe a little different approach for all those reasons is warranted here. I've got to believe, I know as a fan for me, I'm a Christian Walker guy. I was hoping Christian Walker would come in here, and I think everybody was hoping, but I mean, I wanted to be a fan of the guy, and I want to stick in there with him, but damn. I mean, I've gotten into the PTSD. Like, the PTSD of Abreu has become a thing with me, and hell, I was a guy that was a little bit more patient with all of the above. And it's I mean, it's starting to affect me as a fan.
His importance and the injury to Yordan has heightened it.
Yeah.
We'll get all these
absolutely.
And now Altuve was kind of struggling. Now, he did get a couple of hits yesterday, which is good. But, yeah, it's heightened.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Ron Ugly. I'm Clint Sterner. T-Meal, Tyler Milner is behind the glass. You listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. There's been some rule change, a lot of rule change conversations going on with the, what is it, spring meetings?
Yeah.
Owners meetings going on yesterday and today. And today, the decision has been made on the tush push. The tush push has survived and advanced, y'all. It remains in the league at least for one more year. I'm not surprised at all. I am surprised on the detail that you brought to the table a little earlier that they needed 24 NFL owners to vote to ban the tush push. It really wasn't the tush push. It was the Green Bay Packers were putting out there. But it would have included the tush push. They needed 24. They got 22. I'm surprised that number was 22. To be honest with you, given how it was worded, I'm surprised it was 22.
By the way, according to Adam Schefter's report, the Texans were one of the 22 that voted to ban it.
Yes. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily surprise me, given who you are offensively. I mean, you don't you're not lining up and pushing C.J. Stroud or anybody else forward. We have a hard time getting the first down on third and one with a regular quarterback sneak. Hopefully that gets better, too, as to be completely honest with you. The Eagles owner, who I'm a big fan of, I know some people don't like him. He wears some people thin. Jeffrey Lurie, he spoke today to the other 31 NFL owners, Ron, and he said this. He said it's like a
going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wet dream for a teenage boy to create a play that is so, yeah, it's like a wet dream for a teenage boy to create a play that is so successful, the only way for it to be stopped is for it to be banned. He went the wet dream route, Ron.
I mean, that was on purpose, right? I mean, Jeffrey could have started that thing off with so many things. Like now, when the way he starts it off, it's almost hard for me to hear the band
to continue to listen
because he went into depth.
I'm gonna tell you,
it's like a wet dream. That could have been it. It's like a wet dream for a teenage boy. How come teenage girls can't have them? Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I tell you what, it really pissed off when you wake up in the middle of one, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is awful. Another rule change. Tush Push survived in advance, y'all. Another rule change here. I didn't even know all these were on the table, by the way, but I do now. I think this, for NFL fans, which everybody out there is an NFL fan, I think this is important. The onside kick rule has changed, boys. If you remember correctly, you had to be losing, and it had to be in the fourth quarter, and you had to declare that you were going to onside kick.
I hated that part of it.
I agree. I hated all of that.
It's hard enough.
Right. Now, Teams can onside kick at any time as long as they're trailing versus just in the fourth quarter. You still have to declare it. And there's some line. I think you can line up a yard closer versus the way it was set up. So there's a slight change there as well. So your team, you get down in the first half. You want to come out in the second half and kick that thing off with the onside kick. You can do it, which I like this. I mean, there's no reason I cannot steal a possession at all, no matter if I'm down 14 at half and down 21 midway through the third. I can't try to steal a possession. I just got to sit there and eat clock.
John Payton wouldn't have a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
Possibly.
That's right. So, it'll be interesting to see, to your point, of how some of these coaches may decide to come out and get aggressive early if they're down three or if they're down seven, even though there's no longer the surprise factor to it. I wonder, can you line up onside and declare onside kick and then kick it deep?
No, it's just the alignment now that they have of the new kickoff rules.
You used to could align and pooch it and align and kick. Now you've got to literally onside kick it.
Especially where you line up, where they have them lined up.
Yeah. Interesting. Also, this is pretty cool. I like this. Big shout out to the big fellas out there. The O-linemen. There's a new award that is going to be recognizing the best offensive lineman of the year. NFL executive Troy Vincent announced a new end-of-the-year award. And it's called the Protector of the Year. Again, recognizing the best offensive lineman of the year. I'm here for it, man.
Laramie Tunsil is furious. You know how many a Protector of the Year awards that Laramie Tunsil should have in his case?
Yeah.
That's a Trojan advertisement. That's
him. The hell with, what is this, the Outland Trophy? He would have the Protector. The Protector. I mean, he may have won two or three of those.
Trojan man.
Dang, boy. He could have had that his whole career.
Well, he can still get it.
I know he can still
get it. Now he's got
it,
a mobile quarterback that can, like,
maybe
get,
his,
like.
But I mean, 27 to 30, those were his prime protective years.
Yeah, well.
I believe.
Sorry about that, Laramie.
Damn, Laramie. Took you right out.
Definitely weren't his practicing years.
That's fair. All right, coming up, there's some news, breaking news out of the NBA we'll tell you about, as well as some tough news for the Astros. It continues. We'll let you know about that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming from the text line, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch is in the building as well. But there are a couple of texts here, Clint, as we were talking about the first base situation with Christian Walker. One text in, Walker's defense has been excellent, though. Another one is, the only saving grace for Christian Walker is his defense. The guy is a gold glover at first base. So maybe you can treat him like we used to treat Martin Maldonado. Stick him in the nine hole and just keep them in
first base for his defense. Very different.
I think my
gold
biggest
glove first baseman, like a great first baseman. Well, I'm not saying it don't mean nothing.
Newly was that whenever he started.
So
sucking,
was Abreu.
You got
wasn't Abreu that as well?
He wasn't bad. I mean, you got to hit, Jack.
He's definitely the best defensive first baseman we had.
Yeah, the coolest tattoo.
Here's the deal. We see what defense means with this organization.
Yeah.
I mean, we got guys bouncing all over the place. I mean, in critical moments last year, we saw Diaz at first base.
What is going on?
So, yeah, look, I mean, I get it. I mean, if you're a defensive-minded guy, that's fine. But, I mean, this team, one, has shown us that that is not going to take precedence over getting bats in the lineup.
And I can assure you, Dana Brown and company didn't bring him in here for his stellar first-base defense.
Yeah.
I kept it real.
Look, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine, Dana. I hear you. I'm going to be fine if they're patient with him. I'm just saying, man, you start looking at all the different factors, man, it shouldn't shock anybody if they don't get real impatient real quick.
Yeah, they're going to get patient with him. But, I mean, they're going to be patient because they got $20 million a year to be patient with him because they already paying somebody else $20 million a year that's in Florida. Or I'm not sure where Jose Abreu is. Maybe he's still giving a go somewhere. But, they're going to be patient. But you passed that all-star break, Clinton, and we still in – In this situation, getting close to the trade deadline, then there may be some things. But listen, he's not in there to play no damn defense. This ain't catcher, shortstop, or center field, where those you take a little less at the plate. Now, he was here to hit fourth or wherever he's supposed to hit behind Yordan Alvarez. That's what the hell he was supposed to be here to do. And right now, there are a good, and I may be kind, 7-8 guys that should be hitting in front of him. He was hitting in front of Jake today. Jake's hitting 3-0-something, maybe 3-10. Jake should have been hitting in front of him.
Khakis.
DeZenzo, these nuts, should be hitting in front of him.
Got him!
They finally moved Yiner up. I mean, and Yiner's not knocking the cover off the ball, but he should be moving, hitting in front of him. And not because of his stellar defense.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
He's a shortstop. Maybe there's something different. All right. News from the Astros as well there, Clint. This coming through earlier today. Boy. Ronel Blanco has elbow soreness and was sent back to Houston to be seen by team doctors. What's going on? What is going on? I'm not gonna lie. I was listening in the loop earlier this week because they were kind of reacting to the Hayden Wesneski injury, who also popped up with his soreness, discomfort. No, it was sore. Yeah, it was right elbow soreness.
It immediately ended up swelling up. Remember on the off day or whatever, he said he knew something was wrong then.
Yeah,
red alert.
But they were reacting to his soreness then, and they were saying, you know, I know there's a lot of elbow injuries going on around baseball right now. We see Tommy John a lot. He said, but I just wonder, is this a league thing or is this an Astro problem? Because we're seeing a lot of guys that come through with the Astros. And I just said to myself in the car, I'm like, I don't know, Reg. I was like, man, this is baseball. Everybody, hell, it's like you almost waiting for a pitcher to get one, maybe two Tommy John surgeries. But man, what do we got? We got him. We got Wisniewski. Hopefully this with Blanco is nothing big, but he's now popped up with it. Garcia, Javier, whatever the hell's wrong with JP France. So I think it's more shoulder than elbow. I mean, what, Verlander when he was here. Lance, obviously. That's a lot of dudes that are popping up with this elbow situation. So I still think it's just kind of the tenor of the game right now because we're seeing it a lot, but it has really hit the Astros a lot.
Well, it's hard to not think. I mean, just the sheer number. You can count four or five that's happened in the last, calendar year.
Yeah, Wisniewski, Javier, Garcia, Urquidy.
Blanco now.
Just soreness, at least. Those guys went to Tommy John. Verlander and Lance has been on a 3-year odyssey.
Yeah. It's hard to not kind of look side eye of the Astros, but this is a time in Major League Baseball. I've heard several baseball heads talking about it like this, and it's not just this year. I mean, it's this generation of player just going up there and. How hard can you throw it? How hard can you spin it? There's a different approach to pitching, and it's been that way since this generation was 11, 12 years old. And so you're seeing the product of that. I don't know how much of it is Astro-specific versus just this generation of player, but...
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I know as an Astros fan, I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah, hopefully this is, I would imagine elbow soreness with their issues, they're probably not going to mess with it. I'd imagine he may go to the IL at the very least, skip a start if he's having right elbow soreness. So hopefully it is not what happened to Hayden. And Nail is back at some point this year. But that's one to keep an eye on. But he has complained of elbow soreness, and not just is he sitting there. They sent him ahead yesterday to go back to Houston to meet with doctors. By the way, breaking out of the NBA, Clint, wondered how long they were going to take with this, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, wins his first NBA MVP that has just been announced. I'm certain he'll probably get awarded that game too, and that's coming off a big win from him, over 30 again, and he deserves it to me. Jokic made a late push. Like those two were the top two players this year, but he made a late push. But SGA, man, just him and that team, best team, 68 wins, leading scorer in the league, had an incredible run. I haven't seen a player get to 30 points as it appears as easy as he does every night since Carmelo or KD when he was younger. Like, he is just getting there easy, so well-deserved to SGA.
Absolutely, man. He's been fun as hell to watch. And look, I understand the Jokic deal. I mean, the numbers that Jokic puts up. To me, the Jokic thing is very similar to Lamar Jackson. Like, every year, he's going to put up the triple-double. He's going to do things that we've never seen anybody do from an assist, rebounds, and points perspective.
At his size.
And they're around him. They're built where they're probably going to win and make runs in the playoffs. And so, you know, every year, it's very clear why he's more than likely going to be in the MVP hunt. But when you get a guy who puts his team at the top of the league all year long, to your point, I mean, it's almost a disappointment if he didn't score 31.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I looked at the line last night in the first playoff game was 31.5 on underdog for him. I mean, so.
And you probably thought, well, I'll take it.
Yeah. And he scored 31.
Yeah,
he scored 31. So, yeah. So, I mean, anybody that, unless you're just trying to debate, on this one, boy, you got to be happy for the guy, man. He did big things all year long.
Brandon Scott coming up real quick. Is SGA a little Scottie Scheffler? Does he bring you? You enjoy him? Because a lot of people are complaining about his game, talking about he's just a foul line guy.
Well, if he play, the thing is he plays on a championship caliber team. I mean, you got a supporting cast that's really, really good that draws attention. You got a defense that's nasty. You know, you got other guys that when you can't tote the water, they can. And so it's kind of one of those things for me. If he was with a team that was a 500 team and he was just out there scoring 31 and just.
I think it was before.
Yeah, it would be easier to see, right?
Yeah.
But now he just, you know, to me,
you don't see him as boring.
No, not at all. He's not a For me, he's not one of the guys that play, you know, like Steph Curry for me personally, like my taste personally, but I got to believe that just NBA heads love to watch him. The ones that if it's not their team playing, love to just watch NBA. I got to believe that they love
mid-range game is refreshing. Yeah. Brandon Scott, little Texans report, maybe a little Rockets in there too. We'll talk to him coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, yeah, Tony.
Happy birthday to you.
I feel this in my soul.
You're going to hit this next one, ain't you?
Happy birthday, dear.
Be scared.
Happy birthday to you.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
We ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ah, yes. Happy birthday. My man is in that mid-30s. In that mid-30 run right now, Brandon Scott joins us. It is the Texans report. Might have a little Rockets in here. Little report here for B. Scott as he joins us every Wednesday. And it is this young man's birthday. Happy birthday, big dog.
Hey, man, firmly planted in those mid to late 30s now. Cannot.
What is it? 30 what?
36.
36.
Yeah, 30, once you get out of 35,
I'm on the other side. I'm on the other side of 35 officially now. So, yeah, I'm climbing. I'm glad to be here on this side. So,
happy birthday, it's
pretty good, man. Feeling pretty good about it, man. No doubt.
You should, man. There it is. Happy birthday to Brandon Scott. Send him some love.
Was that Tony singing?
That was Tony, man. Tony,
I think I remember that. That was a couple of years ago for your birthday, right?
It was somebody's. Somebody's birthday. She let it rip.
Tony. Yeah, Tony holding it down.
Yeah, she does. Man, happy birthday to you, man. We're good. I hope you have a good time tonight. Hope you get everything you deserve to get.
We need to do combo birthday, man, for show and B. Scott.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we're on this weight loss kick, so we can hit the old salad joint down the street or something, maybe.
No strippers.
Oh, I thought he was wild with it or something.
Oh, no
y'all
shake?
Thinking salad instead of strippers?
Yeah.
I can go either way.
That's a better thing.
B. Scott, you know Clint ain't going nowhere.
Hey, I'm good for a good time. I'm down for a good time, man. We'll go either way.
Don't you do that. Wow. Don't you hate in there.
Dang. Wow.
Don't kill the dream, T Mill.
I do want to get towards, because we're about to make the turn towards the Texans until some of this free agency hits with the Rockets and we can see some of that stuff there. And of course we will visit with you on that. But before we get to the Texans, I did want to hit you because we have not talked to you since a lot of these reports are going out with the Giannis stuff, and that's the one that you're hearing the most. We're looking at the Final Four right now, and superstars are coming in different looks now, right? Like, if you look at all of the lead guys, especially, you know, Edwards is the first, you know, number one overall pick. You can look at him and you can see he's got the athleticism and all that. SGA, I don't think when they made the trade with the Clippers that's what OKC was going to get, the guy who just got announced the league MVP. Brunson doesn't generally fit the role as a one that we're accustomed to, and neither does Halliburton. But we're seeing the game is kind of changing, and there is maybe a thought that the Rockets look and say, well, maybe we got one of those. Maybe we don't need to get one of those. I don't know. I hope that is not the case. But what's your confidence level that we will see a significant change with the roster?
Yeah, so a couple of those examples that you mentioned are cautionary tales, right? Like, if the Clippers knew that SGA was going to be SGA, they would not have traded him for Paul George, right? If the Sacramento Kings knew that Tyrese Halliburton would be the Tyrese Halliburton that we see right now, they wouldn't have traded him for Domantas Sabonis, right? So they're the cautionary tales, and you got Rockets fans that are looking at it like, hey.
Maybe if the Mavericks didn't know that Jalen Brunson was
That's another good one. If they had known, but of course, they also traded Luka. So maybe they did know. Maybe letting go of superstars might just be their thing. Watch out for Cooper Flagg. But to the point though,
time's limited.
It is a cautionary tale, and I think you've got Rockets fans who look at that and say, "Hey, I don't want Alperen Şengün or Jalen Green or Amen Thompson to be one of those guys, to be that Tyrese Halliburton or that SGA story where they go off to another place and now they're an MVP candidate or an actual MVP or perennial all-star in the case of Tyrese Halliburton, who's been incredible in these playoffs, by the way." So I think it is an interesting balance, but in terms of like confidence, what do I think? Like, it's clear that the Rockets, like, you just kind of pay attention. Last time we were in here, we talked about, or I mentioned them talking out of both sides, saying, "Hey, we like continuity, but not continuity for the sake of continuity. And it's got to be something extraordinary to disrupt the continuity," for lack of a better. I think that's, paraphrasing, of course. Well, what's extraordinary? Extraordinary is out there. And Giannis would be that. Like, a guy that has averaged no less than 30 points a game over the last few seasons, and that's after his back-to-back MVP seasons, that to me would count as extraordinary. So it was not surprising to find out right as the season was ending that the Rockets, I think this happened on lottery night, that the Rockets at the same time are interested in Giannis. And Giannis, oh, by the way, is now interested in exploring his options. And so it seems like a natural fit or a perfect fit, I would say. It's just a matter of what you're willing to give up and who are the Rockets willing to, and also the Bucks, like the, both sides of the coin, who are you willing to part with?
Hey, B. Scott, now that you've seen more of playoff basketball, NBA basketball,
right,
beyond the first round, the Rockets losing in the first round, how do you feel as a Rockets fan? How do you feel they stack up against what you've seen beyond the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, so it's funny because they could have easily, I say easily, they didn't do it, but they obviously could have beaten the Golden State Warriors.
Absolutely.
I think they could have given Minnesota a competitive series. Now, in hindsight, and watching what I've watched, I'd probably give Minnesota the edge there. And they've been one of the better teams, a hot team over the last couple of months or so, one of the hotter teams going into the playoffs. So you got to give them credit for that. But I think it's pretty obvious, the thing that we keep talking about, what are the Rockets lacking? They got all of the tools and all of the ingredients except that one key thing. And you look around, you look at the landscape, the SGAs, the Anthony Edwards, save for the night that he had last night, but you would rather have him than not. Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Brunson, even these guys, the second guys on these teams, talking about, Karl Anthony Towns, you got another all-star, like bona fide all-star on your team. What Jalen Williams has been for Oklahoma City, right? And you just kind of go down the line. Of course, Julius Randle has been incredible. Supposedly the second guy around, you made the point earlier, he might probably has been their most consistent guy.
Their most consistent.
Yeah, funny enough. And of course, you got the Tyrese Halliburton with Siakam and Miles Turner. So you got to look around and say, hey, do we measure up to that? Do we have guys that we can rely on when the going gets tough at the end of the game?
All right, let's switch things up. Brandon Scott in on his birthday. Send him a happy birthday shout out. I'm seeing some on the text line and YouTube and Twitch. B. Scott, this is not going to get a Marconi Award with this question here, but very simple.
Don't sell yourself short.
Did the Texans have a good offseason?
I would say a simple answer, no.
Really?
I would say no, and here's why. Because I think it's a fine offseason because they didn't necessarily get worse. Here, how about this? I picked them to go 10-7 when the schedule came out. When the schedule came out, right? What did they go last year?
10-7.
What did they go the year before that? 10-7. And so, like, from the standpoint of consistency, I feel like they're about what they've been, for the most part. But they didn't take that step. They didn't take that next step from year one to year three under D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud. It feels about the same. I'm curious what y'all think. Like, is it greedy to kind of be bored with 10-7 and winning the division and one playoff game? Like, that's pretty cool. That's successful. I don't think anybody could argue with that. But that's about what they feel like. That's what they've been doing. It feels like that's what they're probably going to do this year. I'm a little bit bored with it. I would have liked to have seen them do more or to at least feel a lot better about them going into the season. So from that standpoint, I would say no, even if I don't feel like they took a significant step back.
Yeah, I think it's more than fair. I think it's time for CJ. I think ultimately this is the tell all, the CJ Stroud tell all. I mean, because you look at what they've done, there is a significant amount of pressure on CJ Stroud to make this work.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. if he doesn't, it's not like it's going to be like, oh boy, this that damn Nick Cayley, boy, hell, he ain't never done it. So it's not like Nick. I mean, we're talking about CJ Stroud's been there 2 years, his third year. He's supposed to be on the same planet as the best guys in the league, and he's right now self-admittedly getting all the control and getting what he wants, which I think is tremendous, by the way. And I think he'll do fine with it. But the pressure's definitely on CJ in a big way to make it work.
Well, if Nick Cayley is some really good offensive coordinator, then that changes the answer to the question, right? And the absolutely. Answer is yes.
Yeah.
Even if Nick Cayley is just average, if the new system or the change, if you will, unlocks something in CJ or reaches back into something that he had his rookie year and improves him, then the answer is yes, right? If the addition by subtraction on the offensive line, and despite the fact that they don't have stars on the offensive line, but they got a bunch of guys who have played a lot and they're playing on the string and the offensive line play yep. is better, then, of course, the answer to the question definitely changes. But from where we sit right now, it's hard to really envision.
I like your kind of assessment of, was it good? No, because I feel like they're in the same spot of what they've been competing in the last 2 years. There wasn't, because it felt like they were taking a step coming, like this time last year with the moves they made, it felt like they were trying to take a leap. In a step, but it doesn't feel that way.
The frustrating part is you look at the two big issues, obviously the O-line issues, and you go, okay, did you go out and did you for sure get better? No. You look at what really happened late in the season where just Nico Collins wasn't enough of a threat offensively to keep defenses from really making you struggle offensively. The loss of Steph Diggs, the loss of Tank Dell really hurt you offensively. Now what do you got? A bunch of rookies and Christian Kirk, right? Like it's hard to look at what went bad last year and go, boy, they addressed the hell out of it in terms of the offseason. Now I'll say it again, and we'll circle back to this at some point, Ron, but I just believe CJ Stroud is having more communication, having control is going to absolutely change the game for this offense.
All right, happy birthday, B. Scott. He joins us every Wednesday, 4:40.
Yeah, man.
Check him out as he's all over the station in the loop on Tuesdays at 11. And you can catch all his work at sportsradio610.com. 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you caught up on the Astros and the Rays. Also news on Ronel Blanco. And the Tush Push is dead. No, it ain't. It's staying. We'll discuss all that coming up next.